Hello and welcome to the Marketer Meetup podcast. My name is Joe Glover and I'm extremely grateful for having you here tonight. Today, it's a podcast. You can be listening to it whenever you want. I don't know. Right, let's crack on. Today's talk is from a friend, but also someone who has earned the right to be admired. His name is Simon Hull. He used to work for the BBC as a journalist and a reporter, but has quite recently moved over to the University of Cambridge at the Judge Business School, where he's now a lecturer. If these two names don't give you an idea of the kind of accomplished guy that Simon is already, then I don't know what will. Despite all these positive things, he is also a Liverpool fan, but please don't hold that against him. He's actually all right. I had to get that one in. In this talk, Simon focuses on the power of simplicity when it comes to your messaging. As marketers, we love to overcomplicate things, but this talk really takes things back to basics and just really reflects on some of the most powerful messages over the course of history and how all of them have had one common string in holding them all together, and that has been simplicity. The talk itself took the form of getting the audience very engaged and talking about getting them to identify some of the most famous lines of all time. By the end of the talk, I think you'll be thoroughly convinced, as were the audience, that simplicity is the way forward. If you'd like anything more from the Marketing Meetup, head to themarketingmeetup.com. There you'll find all the stuff about our events, our podcasts, our newsletter, all sorts of lovely, lovely stuff. There's also a thank you to be had, which is to be sent in the direction of Baz at Bravo Marketing. Baz specializes in delivering content which drives engagement rather than just content which sits on someone's website. Now, that's a huge distinction to be made, because I think anyone can write anything that can sit on the website. Not many people have the specialist capabilities to actually follow through with content and make it really thoughtful, really purposeful, and actually deliver any kind of results. So if you'd like anything more from Barry, head to bravomarketing.co.uk. I really don't think you'll be wasting your time. I think you will gain an awful lot from working with Bravo Marketing. With all that being said, over to Simon. I hope you enjoy his talk quite as much as everyone else did when they heard it live at the event.
Thank you very much. Hang on, I need another hand. Thank you. I always think it's a high-risk strategy to clap before I've even said a single word. There is a temptation to say, thank you very much, that was lovely, thank you. Joe has told me what a cultured bunch of people you are, so I thought I'd start off this evening with a very brief art exam. Is that all right with you? You do a lot of this sort of thing, understand, you know, thinking about important works of art and their meaning and their moves and all that, yeah? Yeah. Am I in the wrong place? Okay. It's a very simple art exam. This I will ask you nothing about. It's the sort of picture we're all familiar with from our kids or our nephews and nieces. That moment where they first get the hang of colour and wow, they're going to use it. But this is slightly different. Does anyone recognise the picture on the left? Yeah, it's a Mark Rothko. Spot on. See, I knew I was in the right place. You're a cultured bunch. So it's a Mark Rothko. Very different from the kids' picture, I think you'll agree. Simple. Elegant. Power of simplicity. How much do you think we would get for the kids' picture if we put it up for auction? You're not reaching for your wallets at this point, are you? How much do you think the Rothko sold for?
Lots of the prints or the real one?
My real one at home. Any guesses?
4 million.
4 million. It's going to be like a game show. Higher, higher.
No, 100 million.
100 million. $186 million. $186 million for the Rothko at a recent auction. Sought after artist, but look at the power of simplicity in that. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about. The power of simplicity. Less is more. How less can be so much more. And I'll also show you this evening what I think is the cleverest example in business of simplicity. and how simplicity built up a multi-billion pound business which came to dominate much of the world that we know. There's one example which is just brilliant, and so brilliant that you probably don't even recognise it. You probably use it many times a day and you don't even notice what you're doing. I'll tell you that bit at the end. So, simplicity runs through many, many fields of life. And just to demonstrate some of them, I'll take you on a quick tour. Let's look, first of all, at opening lines of novels. I'm a writer, as Joe mentioned. I've had a few novels published. I like writing. So just as a bit of fun, and to show you the power of simplicity, less is more, some opening lines, famous opening lines of books through history. Who can tell me what book starts with this? It is a truth universally acknowledged as a single... I didn't even get halfway through that. I knew we were going to have a fun night. So that's Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen. That is 23 words, according to my maths, which was never the best. Yet 23 words, and that has gone down in history as a brilliant example of writing. Why? Because, 3 points. She immediately tells you what sort of a book it's going to be. Single man, want of a wife, you know it's going to be a romance. She immediately tells you something about Jane Austen. Anyone who can write like that, express her observer's eye of the world in that sort of beautiful simplicity of phrase, that lovely turn of phrase, is worth spending time with and worth listening to. Point number three makes you want to read on and find out more. All that in just 23 words. But you can use even fewer words than that. What about this one? It was a bright, cold day in April and the clocks were striking 13.
1984.
Very good. 1984, George Orwell's masterpiece. 14 words. 14 words. Just 14 for an opening line that's gone down in history. Why? Same lessons again. Gives you a sense of the book. It's talking about the communist world behind the Iron Curtain, this dystopian reality we're not quite sure about, but it's sinister and dark. It's known in the trade as the delayed drop in writing. Everything is perfectly normal. Bright, cold day in April and the clocks were striking 13. What's that about? So it forces you to want to find out more. Also tells you what a brilliant author George Orwell is. Just a handful of words. But you can go with even fewer words than that. This is one of my favourite opening lines in the history of writing. All children, except one, grow up. Peter Pan. They're all in the front row. You've got to catch up on the back row here. Come on, back row, you can do this. All children except one grow up. Just 6 words. 6 words, one clause. Tells you what the story's going to be about. The boy who never grows up. Tells you about J.M. Barrie. Wow, what a writer. Just 6 words to get you involved in the story. And sure as hell makes you want to find out more. But you can have even fewer words. Even fewer for a famous opening line. Call me Ishmael. Better on the back row. Good, you're catching up. Moby Dick. Just 3 words. Why does it work? Because of the sense of mystery and the darkness about it. The only name we know the narrator of this story cannot possibly have is Ishmael. Call me Ishmael. So why doesn't the narrator want you to know their name? And it alludes to the darkness and the tragedy of the story. 3 words. Less is more. Opening lines in literature. But it's not just literature. How about famous speeches as well? What very famous speech opens and closes with these words? 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And ends with, this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
George Washington.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln, Gettysburg Address. Good. So most of you know it. But do you know how long the Gettysburg Address was? Incredibly famous speech. Went down in history. Anyone know how long it was? We don't know exactly how long it was because no one was sitting there with a stopwatch timing the guy. He was compelling them too much to listen to him. Anyone know how many words there were in the Gettysburg Address? 272. In terms of how long that would take him to speak it, probably less than 2 minutes. Less than 2 minutes for a speech which went down in history. So whenever anyone tells you you need sometimes to go on at length to get your point across, it's nonsense. And boy, do I have this battle with the University of Cambridge sometimes. I've been in Cambridge 18 months now. One thing I learnt very early is never use 10 words where 100 will do. I've just seen a new record at the university for a report to a committee. Any guesses how many words? Well, there were 912 pages. Who wrote it? And who's going to read it? Less is more in speeches as well. You don't need a lot of words to make a big impression if they're good words. Well-chosen words. Clever words from the heart and with passion. But of course, it doesn't stop with speeches. Let's move on to something close to your hearts as marketers. Slogans and catchphrases. Slogans you know all about. Catchphrases. As a writer, we look often for catchphrases, if I'm writing radio or TV particularly, because a little catchphrase can really bring a character to life, give you a real sense of them. So again, let's have a bit of fun. Slogan, because I'm worth it. What's that?
L'Oreal.
L'Oreal, yeah, you'll know it. But why is it so clever? Just four words. Why does it work so well? What does it do?
It increases your self-worth.
Yeah, it increases your self-worth. Because as somebody who goes to buy that, how does that make you feel? Because I'm worth it. Mm-hmm. And we all probably most days feel that we're worth a little bit of indulgence, don't we? Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Just summed up in four words. Absolute genius. Snap, crackle, pop.
Rice Krispies.
Rice Krispies, yeah. Fun. Sums up the sound of the brand, and it became famous with just three words. Catchphrase. Dole! Who's that? Homer Simpson. Yeah, it's Homer. It's Homer. And in just one word, sums up the character, someone for whom nothing ever goes right. We sure as hell relate to that some days, don't we? But isn't that brilliant? Just one word, Dole! And it goes down and becomes famous. What about this one? Another great slogan. Never knowingly undersold.
John Lewis.
Yeah, why does it work? Why does it work? Three words. Why does it work? What does it tell you about John Lewis? Whose side are they on? Oh, they're actually trying to make money, but no, we're on your side. It's a cleverness. Honest, on your side, dedicated to you and service. It's bollocks, but...
They're partners, right?
Yeah, partners, absolutely. It's all part of the brand, all part of the image. Another catchphrase? All for one and one for all.
The Three Musketeers.
Yeah, the Musketeers. And again, sums them up. I mean, that's quite an essay, isn't it, by terms of catchphrases and slogans. But it sums them up. The togetherness, the spirit of looking after each other. And just a handful of words. Less is more. The power of using less words rather than more. You stupid boy. Captain Mandarin. Captain Mandarin, Dad's Army. And it sums up, of course, the pomposity of the character. You stupid boy. Three words. Sums him up. Labour's not working. Recognise that? Oh, you're all too young, aren't you? Sachin and Saatchi, 78, 79, to get Margaret Thatcher elected. That brilliant campaign poster, three words, with a photograph, and we'll do simplicity of photographs in a minute, of the Dole queue, Labour's not working. Incredibly powerful. It's become absolutely famous. Brilliantly done. Did it need a lot of words? Not in the slightest. And finally on this, you're fired. Alan Sugar. Absolutely, Alan Sugar. Why does that work? What does it say about him as a character? He's in charge, he's ruthless, this is business, you're going to get your butt kicked. All in two words. Two words. Slogans and catchphrases. Less is more. The right words, well chosen. You don't need a lot of words. Works for soundbites as well. Soundbites are an interesting one. Soundbites are often knocked these days. People say, oh, it's all just soundbites. As though that were a bad thing. Soundbites are just a simple way of putting something in a memorable fashion. There's nothing wrong with a soundbite. Why not sum up your concept or your idea in a way which is memorable and makes an impact than something which people miss or is forgotten? The other thing people say about soundbites, it's a modern phenomenon. Cobblers, not modern at all. Goes back hundreds, if not thousands of years. For example, who coined these soundbites? To thine own self be true, the milk of human kindness, be cruel to be kind, all the world's a stage, if music be the food of love, play on, all that glitters is not gold, and the course of true love never did run smooth. Who's that?
Shakespeare,
400 years ago. They're soundbites, they're just a clever way of putting something. It goes back even further than that. Think about Julius Caesar, 2,000 years ago. Veni, vidi, vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. That's a soundbite from 2,000 years ago. Three words. Goes down in history. Soundbite's not modern and nothing to be knocked. Just a clever way of putting your message so it really sticks. Shakespeare could have written, oh, they had a few tiffs, but they worked it out in the end. It'd be forgotten. What did he write? The course of true love never did run smooth. And we remember it. And it goes down in history. And it becomes part of the language because of the use of words, but the economy of words as well. Less is more. One thing that's very useful for you as marketers is that you know people these days have a lot of calls on their time. What's the average attention span according to the latest research in the modern world? Anybody know? It's not quite 3 seconds, no. Let's hope it never gets there.
It's 8 seconds for focus.
Yeah, it's about... It's disputed, but it's about, probably on average, about 10 seconds. Modern attention spans. But actually reflect on your life. You know, you've got Facebook and Twitter coming in at your LinkedIn, and then there's the boss, and there's your email going off on the phone, and someone's shouting at you. Modern attention spans are very short. Very, very short. So to engage with people, you really have to make them work with you. And sometimes simplicity and fewer words rather than more really helps with that. Really helps. And you can have fun. You can have fun and engage people, and sometimes fun is the best way of engaging with people. Here's a little game you might have seen before. Films in one line. Summing up the plot of a film. Famous films in one line, for example. And these things can go very big. You see them on Twitter trending all the time. Some examples of films in one line. Strange group of friends spend 9 hours returning jewellery. What's that? Who was it? Who said that? Lord of the Rings, absolutely. So we've got some answers from the middle ground now, that's good. I'm getting a lot coming from the front, a lot from the back. I want the middle to start getting bold now, all right? Strange group of friends spend 9 hours returning jewellery. Lord of the Rings. What about this one? Fishing trip goes badly wrong. Indeed so. Jaws. I suppose it could have been Moby Dick. Victorian fishing trip goes badly wrong. Five words, but a bit of fun, a bit of fun. What about this one? Mad factory owner kills children one by one in front of their parents. Yes, Charlie the Chocolate Factory. Casts rather a different light on it, doesn't it, when you think about it like that? And that was the genius of Roald Dahl, incidentally. Writes some really dark, nasty stuff. But we all love it. Oh, yeah, it's a really nice book, isn't it? What? There's a lot of kids dying in that. Not normally what we like. It's one of my favourites, this one. Leonardo DiCaprio wanders a frozen wasteland in search of an Oscar. Absolutely, but true, isn't it? True. I mean, anybody who will get into the interior of a dead horse after scooping out its intestines deserves the Oscar in my book. Girl hits head, dreams about fancy shoes. Wizard of Oz, spot on. Absolutely. Last one. Father and son don't get along, universe suffers. Star Wars, yeah. Bit of fun, serious point. These things can really trend online. Why? Partly because they're simple and they don't take much time and they engage the audience, and hell, isn't that what we want to do as marketers and communications people? Sure. Simplicity, the power of simplicity. And speaking of online and the power it has in our modern lives, simplicity and less is more is so, so important, particularly online. I'll just show you a few posts online which have made really big splashes. And they are all simple. And I think that's part of the reason why. This is a friend of mine from the university who's a Cambridge physicist, so as clever as they come. And yet he posts this on Twitter. Hello, my name's Paul. I have a PhD in physics, and thanks to a random brain freeze, forgot the word for photon, so had to call it a shiny crumb. In front of my colleagues. Genuine Paul. Self-deprecating humour. Massive. I mean, that was before it went really, really big, because he texts me to tell me about it. Serious point, it's only a few, 35 words or so. Went around the world. He got offers of media for radio, TV. Come and talk about that on our programme all over the world. And for him, I know it's crazy. Well, I think it's partly because it's a Cambridge physicist. Bit embarrassing, but hey. Serious point for him, he gets profiled, he gets people knowing about him, he starts to become a public commentator on science matters. That really helps in terms of getting research, getting partnerships, getting funding, getting known. It's a cutthroat world, research. It's not as easy as it sometimes looks. So massive on that, and it's very simple. What about this one? Absolute favourite of mine. Very simple image, very simple words, but sure as hell works. Jesus is arriving now in a Honda Accord. So it's a screenshot from Uber. And what does he write? Not really how I imagined the second coming. Simple. Just a screenshot. Just a few words. Nearly half a billion favourites. Yeah. Is it? Oh, yeah, sorry. I never did good at maths. So massive impact. Less is more. Less is more. And just for a sweet one, again, simple photo, simple caption, maximum impact. I just want someone who looks at me the way my brother looks at ketchup. And again, it goes crazy. It doesn't have to be complex. It doesn't have to be a lot of words. Nice and simple. And you can make a huge impact if you think about it and do it well. Your marketers, I know what you're thinking. Let's get this out the way with. There are, of course, exceptions to less being more. Because you're marketers, this is the exception that proves the rule. Let's get it out the way with. Cheers, thank you very much. Finally, when you've composed your less is more, whether it's images or words, there is something you should always do. Always do before you put anything out anywhere, whether it's press release, whether it's online, whether wherever it might be, always check. Always check. Always check there's no errors in it. I'm funny as hell, aren't I? Is that nervous laughter, Joe? I hope he's going to stop soon. Always check before you put anything out because you don't want to make a big impact for all the wrong reasons. Here are some that did, one courtesy of CNN. President spokesman says he can't speak for the president. I used to be a BBC television news person. That's like a bit embarrassing. Some gems from members of the public. I want my first daughter to be a girl. Should be okay. Yeah. A person who loves you will never kick you when you're down or pour salad on your wounds. Ah! Those radishes. Going to stop smoking for a week, feel bad for my liver. But in case you thought it was limited to members of the public making wallies of themselves online, it is not. Professional journalists are very good at it too. The last thing you'd expect. But my absolute favourite. It would be a good story if it ever did, I tell you. So, serious point, less is more, and yes, keep your messages short and simple for maximum impact, but always check, always check. Finally, I am going to reveal that piece of business, which I think was so incredibly clever. It built a multi-billion pound empire, which now dominates its field of the world. You'll all use it many times a day, but you probably never realise the genius of the simplicity. What is it? Now, cast your mind back to how it was in the early days of search engines. You have to tick things and fill stuff in, and it was a pain in the butt. These people came along and gave you a box to fill in. Now, OK, there is a nod to more advanced stuff up there if you want it, but it's just a nod. It's a tiny amount for those who are more techie-minded. You can search the enormity of the World Wide Web by typing some words in a box and hitting return. Genius of simplicity. And Google now accounts for about 90% of internet searches around the world. A large amount went down because of that. Simplicity. So the power of simplicity. What I wanted to talk to you about tonight. So summing up, always use the absolute minimum number of words and pictures that you possibly can in any situation. No. Keep it very tight for the maximum impact. No. Cut again so you don't waste any words or space at all whatsoever. No. Ladies and gentlemen, less is more. Thank you. Thank you.